Welcome to the Bristol Bay's Fisheries Report. The Nooshigak saw its second largest catch of the season so far yesterday, but the Wood River Special Harvest Area hasn't opened yet. The Togiak River Counting Tower is up and running, giving us our first escapement numbers from the district. Igigik had a bump as well, and escapement numbers in the Naknek haven't been hampered by hot water. It's Friday, July 5th. I'm your host, Alex Hager. Coming up tonight, it's hot. Really hot. We check in with our reporter over on the east side where king salmon saw its highest temperature ever.
Sockeye don't generally do well when the water is above about 58 or 59 degrees Fahrenheit, but things are heating up way more than that in Bristol Bay right now.
And Togiak posted its first escapement numbers yesterday.
There's no way to say anything other than it's a good forecast and it's starting off better than average.
And we talked to analyst Scott Rayborn about what the latest port molar numbers mean for the run. Those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Let's get things started today with the numbers. On the west side, the Nooshigak caught 840,000 yesterday, bringing the season cumulative to just short of 8 million at 7.96 million. Breaking down the Nooshigak catch, 81% came from drift nets and 19 came from set nets. Yesterday's escapement in the Nooshigak was 76,000, pushing the cumulative up to 1.55 million. The Wood River accounts for 1.07 million of that escapement total, with 450,000 fish going up the Nooshigak River and 33,800 escaping up the Agushik. Also on the west side, we have our first escapement numbers from the Togiak River now that the tower is up and running. 888 fish made it up the river on the first day of counting, and another 384 between midnight and 6 a.m. this morning. Harvest in the Togiak just cracked 100K after yesterday's catch of 21,000. We'll have more on those first Togiak escapement numbers later in the show. Over on the east side now, Igigik posted the day's highest catch totals with 496,000. The season cumulative is 4.19 million. Escapement in Igigik yesterday was 43,200, bringing the season escapement up to 666,700. The Naknek Kwijak caught 395,000 fish yesterday, pushing the cumulative up to 2.34 million. Escapement in the district was 115,000 yesterday. 104 of that came from the Naknek River, with 8,000 fish up the Kwijak and 2,000 in the Alagnak. The season cumulative escapement for the district is 778,000. And finally, there was no fishing in the Ugashik yesterday, leaving the district's cumulative catch at 109,900. The Ugashik River saw 4,170 fish go past the tower for a season cumulative of 21,600. Turning now to the latest vessel registration stats. The biggest changes this weekend are coming in the Naknek Kwijak. There were 356 permits in the district this morning, but that number will go up to 393 by Sunday at 9 a.m. The Naknek Kwijak will also go from 310 vessels to 331 and 56 D-boats to 62 in the same time frame. Registration still climbing in Igigik, with 452 permits this morning, climbing to 471 on Sunday. The district will also go from 348 vessels to 354. The number of D-boats will climb from 104 to 107. Things staying just about even in the Nooshigak, the district will lose just one permit over the weekend, dropping from 804 to 803. The number of vessels stays the same through Sunday at 613, but it'll lose a single D-boat to go from 191 to 190. Some slight increases in the Ugashik, with 47 boats climbing to 52 and 37 vessels climbing to 41 over the next couple of days. 10 D boats today and 11 for Sunday. And finally, things are staying level in the Togiak, 39 boats and 39 vessels throughout the weekend. Nothing new as far as numbers from the Chignik Weir, but we do have the latest from Area M. On the South Peninsula, they're reporting a total sockeye harvest of 622,000 in addition to 8.4 million pinks. And on the North Peninsula, Area M has a total sockeye catch of 638,500. The test fishery at Port Molar has numbers from stations 2 through 20 for yesterday, turning out an average daily index of 17. Let's break those numbers down by station now. Station 2 didn't catch any fish in either the 4.5 or the 5 1/8, so that catch index is 0. Station 4 caught 2 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 4 in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 14. Station 6 got 11 in the 4.5 and another 11 in the 5 1/8, making that catch index 49. Station 8 caught 3 fish in the 4.5 and 0 in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 8. Station 10 got 4 in the 4.5 and 2 in the 5 1/8, making that catch index 15. Station 12 ended up with 13 in the 4.5 and 11 in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 53. Station 14 caught 5 fish in the 4.5 and just 1 in the 5 1/8, making the catch index 14. Station 16 got 0 in the 4.5 and 6 in the 5 1/8 for a catch index of 13. Station 18 caught 10 fish in the 4.5 and another 10 in the 5 1/8, putting the catch index at 48. And finally, at Station 20, there were 22 fish in the 4.5 and 14 in the 5 1/8, resulting in a catch index of 80.
Support comes from Bristol Bay Brailer, thanking customers for purchasing brailers, slush bags, net bags, and upholstery from a local family-owned company. Measuring and building gear for a perfect fit. Orders at 907-469-0782 or bristolbaybrailer.com.
On the 4th of July, southern Alaska experienced some record hot temperatures. The mercury climbed up to 89 in King Salmon, setting an all-time record high, passing the previous mark of 88 in June 1953. KDLG's Sage Smiley is in King Salmon right now. I gave her a call to check on conditions earlier this afternoon. Hey, Sage.
Hi.
So King Salmon set a record high for the 4th of July yesterday.
Yes, it did. A very balmy 89 degrees is the new record for the 4th, as well as an all-time temperature record, actually.
It sounds like you guys are roasting over there. How is that affecting the temperature of the water, though?
I mean, everything is hot, including the water. I talked to management biologist Travis Ellison, and he says that sockeye don't generally do well when the water is above about 58 or 59 degrees Fahrenheit, but things are heating up way more than that in Bristol Bay right now.
We're seeing temperatures in the low 60s for surface water out in Bristol Bay and in the rivers, too. So, you know, they can tolerate it for some time, and they'll blast through, usually, you know, seeking out cooler water, which sometimes they can find in upwelling once they get into the river.
Basically, things are much hotter than sockeye usually like, especially since this is just the beginning of what's shaping up to be kind of a long heat wave.
So we know it's hot in the air, we know it's hot in the water, and we know sockeye don't love that. Is that slowing the run at all?
Travis said that so far, naknek escapements have still been good in the low six figures yesterday, and it's shaping up to be about the same today with 100,000-plus run up the river. But the tower crews report that fish are swimming more towards the middle of the river where the water is cooler, and fishermen say that fish are swimming deep. Here's Travis again.
I think all those are partly explained by the extreme warm temperatures we're seeing right now. We are seeing effects, fish swimming slow, their noses are popping out of the water in some places. Seeing a few otherwise healthy looking fish floating down belly up. Could be a bunch of things, but there's a good chance that's heat related. So we'll see. We're just a couple days into this new heat wave and not much change in the forecast. So I think we're going to learn a lot about how heat affects Bristol Bay sockeye salmon as this week drags on.
Things are supposed to stay in the 70s and 80s and sunny here on the east side, at least through the beginning of next week. So how the fish will react is pretty up in the air. It's not like Bristol Bay has seen a heat wave like this in a long time, so we'll be checking in with biologists to see how things are looking as the high temps continue.
All right, Sage, thank you for checking in from over in King Salmon. You stay cool over there.
Oh, that's a little too on the nose, Alex, but thank you. I'll try.
It's been hot in King Salmon, it's been hot here in Dillingham, it's been hot pretty much everywhere across this part of Alaska, so we wanted to take a look at the science behind the heat wave. Michael Kutz is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. He says a large hot air dome is pushed up over most of the state, and that's bringing up warm air from lower levels.
Being over land, as far in as King Salmon is, for instance, is enough to give it some additional capability to heat. It was that way for a lot of stations across the lower two-thirds of mainland Alaska yesterday.
The previous daily record for July 4th was 84 degrees, set back in 1997. According to Kutz, yesterday's temperature surpassed the average high for that date by 25 degrees. King Salmon usually hovers at 64 degrees. He also says a lack of humidity has made things feel particularly hot.
A lot of dryness overall. A lot of the locations across the state were seeing temperatures in the high 80s to low 90s, and basically it's all hot, dry air. Being under the dome of high pressure, it's basically wringing everything out, pushing everything off to the side. And that's what's keeping it warm for everybody.
Under normal circumstances, coastal communities like King Salmon or Dillingham would be cooler because the water would help moderate the temperature.
But being that the rest of the air over land is being heated, again, virtually no cloudiness above it to block out the sun coming in.
King Salmon might have set a record, but temperatures have been running high all across the bay. David Vardy on the Holly V is fishing in the Nooshigak right now.
The lack of wind, for starters, has kind of slowed down the catch a little bit. And I think the sun, you know, just makes things hot.
Vardy is enjoying the weather, but he said he and his crew are taking certain precautions, like monitoring the kitchen stove.
We've been turning that puppy off because it's so hot, you know. You can't complain about weather like this, though. It's just been super nice.
Vardy is staying on the west side for now, but transferring to the east side isn't out of the question. He told us he's keeping an eye on the port molar numbers and the first analysis of the season, which was released yesterday, indicating the season could see closer to 50 million fish instead of the preseason forecast of 40 million.
It's tough to tell where those fish are going, or if there actually is an extra 10 million fish coming now. So we're just kind of sitting tight and waiting to see what happens before we make a decision, but we're definitely weighing a transfer.
Speaking of port molar, the numbers from the test fishery from last week are indicating that Bristol Bay's total run will likely exceed the forecast of 40.2 million, and it's shaping up to be closer to 50 million. KDLG's Izzy Ross broke down the numbers with analyst Scott Rayborn.
Hey, Scott. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
What are we seeing in the interpretation Port Muller released yesterday?
What's different from our interpretation on the 29th is that we underestimated the travel time between Port Muller and the inshore districts. You know, we were estimating a 5 to 6 day travel time, and then now we're estimating an 8 to 9 day travel time. And what that does is it slides the index further in time, and then you have to raise it up more, which increases your daily projections. Right now, we're showing that, including the 4th through the 10th, our best guess is, you know, around 20-21 million fish should show up inshore. Our best guess is that it should peak somewhere on the 8th to the 9th and start to decline around the 10th. That's what the pattern in the catch in the seas at Port Muller is telling us. And, you know, it may shift a day sooner or a day later than that, depending on how the managers open and close the fisheries. And, you know, also the travel time could change. The fish may stall between Port Muller and inshore longer than they have thus far in the season, which would shift our projections. Now, if you assume that Port Muller just falls continuously from here on out and the run declines precipitously, we're looking at a run magnitude of mid-40s to closer to 50 or a little bit above.
So right now you're anticipating that the run will exceed the forecast of 40.2 million, but to go much above 50 million, it will have to pick up in the next few days.
Yeah, hopefully the fish have stalled because of the high water temperatures.
Has that been a complication or a complicating factor for the Port Muller test fishery, the high water temperatures?
No, it's something we record, but over the years we've had a lot of difficulty trying to correlate anything with water temperature. And everyone knows that it affects salmon, but we just can't find a signal in all the other noise that's surrounding Port Muller and how it translates to catch and escapement inshore.
As far as stock composition goes, what do the latest numbers say about where the fish are headed?
The Naknek Kwejak has increased a bit. It remains strong. You know, it's leveled off, as you would expect this time of year. The Nooshigak Wood remains strong. It's one thing to say that, you know, 30% of the fish are heading for a district, but if that's only a handful of index points, that's not many fish. And to say it another way, 10% of a lot may be more fish than 50% of a few.
I also see that Ugashik is still lagging. Is there any indication that that run might pick up soon, or are you still waiting on that?
It's difficult to say with Ugashik because, for one, you know, this year and last year, partially, we sampled all the way to the end of the transect, and we found a lot of fish that in previous years were not sampled and would not have been represented. And we know Ugashik tends to swim or migrate closer to Port Mola than the other districts. And so in previous years, up through, say, 15, 16, and even 17, they wouldn't have been washed out as much by Quijack or west side fish that were migrating further offshore. Well, now we're sampling all those offshore fish, and it could be that their genetics is washing or diluting the Ugashik signal a bit. A Ugashik stock composition of 2% may have been 10 to 15% previous years. We just don't know. Or it could be that Ugashik is lower than forecast.
Looking at run timing, when you talk about a rebound, what is the likelihood of a rebound from these lower Port Mueller numbers that we've been seeing in the past few days?
In the past, it's not uncommon for Port Mueller to dip dramatically and then have spikes in catches at this time of year. But now that we're sampling the entire transect, we really don't know what declines and bumps mean compared to previous years. Even still, it's been declining for several days now, and I've not seen it decline that much and not be a signal that the migration is subsiding at Port Mueller. Odds of it coming back, I don't know, it's hard for me to give you a specific number on that. But even if it doesn't, even if it just keeps tanking at Port Mueller from here on out, we're still looking at a run probably in the mid to 40 million to closer to 50 million.
Thanks so much, Scott.
All right.
Before we close things out here, let's turn our attention to the Togiak for a moment, where they've just started putting out escapement numbers from the counting tower. I called up Westside Management Biologist Tim Sands to ask about what might be in store for the rest of the season.
The Port Mueller numbers are strong. Because Togiak's such a small run, we don't typically see much of a signal for Togiak in the genetics there, and we haven't really seen it in the last several samples. There's no way to say anything other than it's a good forecast, and it's starting off better than average.
And with this heat wave bearing down on Bristol Bay, the issues caused by rising water temperatures could also have an effect in Togiak.
I think the water level is still high over there. I talked to somebody the other day, but most of the snow's gone from the hills, so it's probably going to drop quickly, but hopefully we'll get some rain sooner rather than later.
That just about does it for the show tonight. Taking a look at the marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay, tonight and tomorrow there will be variable winds of 5 knots or less, clear with seas around 1 foot. We'll close things out with a message to the fleet, to the kindred spirit from the crew of the Lindsay. Sparky, Ippy sends her love and is keeping your pillow warm. Dirk made it back with the pink pickup, but thinks the transmission may be going out. Glad to hear the fish are coming in strong, fish on, and know that there is a new shipment of tequila waiting here at home. If you have any suggestions or corrections for the fish report, we want to hear from you. Please let us know by sending an email to fish@kdlg.org or calling us at 842-5281. If you've got a message to the fleet or a song request, send it to the same place, fish@kdlg.org, or give us a ring at 842-5281. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. For our fishing song today, we'll send it off with a classic. We've got Mr. Brightside by The Killers for the crew of the Bangarang. That's all for tonight. I'm Alex Hager. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow. Come